Okay, welcome to the Shir and Svarno, Parshas Shmini. The topic we'll try to talk about tonight is one of the topics that the Mefarshim discuss in Parshas Shmini, namely the deaths of Nadav and Avihu, where the Torah describes how on the day of the Chanukas HaMishkan, when the Mishkan was dedicated, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the second year after the Jewish people left Mitzrayim. So it was a joyous day, but the joy was marred by Nadav and Avihu bringing ketores, bringing incense into the Mishkan, something they were not commanded to do. And because of that, perhaps because of other things, again we'll see in a little bit, they were stricken down on the very day on which the Mishkan was dedicated. So the Mefarshim, again starting really with Chazal, labored to try to figure out what exactly was the sin of Nadav and Avihu. The Pasuk itself describes Nadav and Avihu as extraordinary people. Bikrovai Yekodesh, I'll be sanctified, says Hashem, through those who are very close to me. And clearly Nadav and Avihu are extraordinary people. So for these extraordinary people, what exactly was the sin that they did that caused them to be killed in such a fashion? So we'll get to that in a few moments, Bezus Hashem. But really to lay the groundwork for that, we have to take a look at a few comments of the Svarno in the beginning of the Sedra. So, the Sedra starts out describing the various karbonos that are supposed to be brought on the eighth day of the Miluim, the eighth day of the inauguration of Aaron and his sons as Kohanim, which again, by the way, is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And it says you should bring all of these karbonos, and then we read in Perek Tes, Pasuk Dalid, Ki hayom Hashem niro aleichem. Because today, Hashem niro aleichem. So, article translates that the way most of the Mefarshim understand it. Today, Hashem appears to you. In other words, the word niro, which means to appear, is in the present tense. Today, Hashem is appearing to you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come to you. The Svarno, however, somewhat unusually, interprets the verb nira not as is appearing in the present tense, but rather appeared in the past tense. It's a little bit ambiguous when you have a word like that, nira, whether it's present tense or past tense. So the Svarno writes, kvar nira b'maisa yadeichem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu already appeared to Klal Yisrael by virtue of their building the Mishkan, ka'amro uchvod Hashem moleyas ha-Mishkan. As it says at the end of Sefer Shmos, that when the Mishkan was built, the glory of Hashem filled up the Mishkan, v'roi shetichabdu b'karbon zeh al-gilu yishchinoso. And it's appropriate that since the Shechina has already appeared, by virtue of the fact that the Shechina has filled up the Mishkan, it's appropriate that you should bring this extra karbon to celebrate the fact that the Shechina is already there. So in other words, ki hayom Hashem nira aleichem doesn't mean you're bringing the karbon because Hashem's Shechina is appearing now. You're bringing the karbon because now you're bringing the karbon today because Hashem nira aleichem, Hashem has already appeared to you in the past. So you have to interpret the pasuk a little bit differently than the norm. Ki hayom, today, you're bringing the karbon because ki Hashem nira aleichem, because Hashem has already appeared to you. Now this seems maybe a little bit like splitting hairs. Okay, Hashem appeared to us, Hashem is appearing to us, what does it really matter? But I think this somewhat subtle point in the Svarno is going to be very important when we consider the sin of Nadav and Avihu as understood by the Svarno. So let's bear this in mind, and then we'll keep reading a little bit. So in Pasuk Vav, Vayomer Moshe speaks to the people and he tells them as follows, Zeh adavar asher tzivo Hashem ta'asu, you should carry out the following things which Hashem says to do. He's about to give them instructions. V'yeiro aleichem kavod Hashem, and Hashem's glory will appear to you. Now, the Svarno has just got through telling us that Hashem's glory has already appeared to the Jewish people by virtue of their building the Mishkan. And what they're celebrating by bringing the Karban is the glory which is already there. So what's this V'yeirah kvod Hashem aleichem? That indisputably is in the future tense. Do these things and Hashem's glory will appear to you. I thought the glory already appeared. I thought the kvod Hashem already appeared to the Jewish people. So on this pasuk writes the Svarna, V'yeirah aleichem kvod Hashem milevad giloi hashchina shahaya b'mishkan. So there's going to be an appearance of Hashem's glory that's going to be beyond that which was in the Mishkan. Ka'amro, as the Pasuk says, a little bit later on in Pasuk Chav Gimel, v'yirok vod Hashem al kol ha'am. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory appeared to all of the people. So in other words, the Svarna works in this interpretation of what's happening as a second giluy of Kvod Hashem, a second revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory, above and beyond that which existed in the Mishkan. So what does that mean? In other words, how can you have more of Hashem's glory? So you might be inclined to understand that Lahavdil is kind of like a dimmer light, right? In other words, you can turn the light on, the light can be somewhat bright, you can adjust the brightness, it can be brighter and brighter and brighter. So in other words, Hashem's glory was already there. And what Klal Yisrael were doing on this day was turning up the brightener so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory, Kaviyachol, would be, you know, even brighter in its appearance to them. But I don't think you have to say that. I think based on something the Svarna wrote at the end of Sefer Shmos, you can say a little bit differently, and it fits in very nicely with the Psukim themselves. The Svarna made the point at the end of Sefer Shmos that when it says, "Uchvod Hashem molei as HaMishkan," the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu filled up the Mishkan, it indeed filled up the Mishkan, but it didn't go a centimeter outside of the Mishkan. In other words, whatever the Kvod Hashem means in this context, again, we don't really understand it, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory was entirely, the Shekhinah was entirely inside the Mishkan, but it didn't go even an iota outside of the Mishkan. And if you recall, we saw the Svarna at the end of Sefer Shmos says, this is in contrast to what's going to be by the third Beis HaMikdash, Be'ezus Hashem, where the Shekhinah not only is going to be invest the entire Beis HaMikdash, but the entire city of Yerushalayim is going to be invested with a similar level of the Hashra'as HaShekhinah, of God's, you know, divine presence. So here, what it would seem, again, just piggybacking off of that comment which the Svarno has at the end of Sefer Shmos, is that the Kvod Hashem had already appeared in the Mishkan, but V'yeirah Kvod Hashem Aleichem, Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Klal Yisrael and he says, what you're going to do today is going to extend the Hashra'as HaShekhinah. Not only will the Hashra'as HaShekhinah be felt in the Mishkan itself, but the Hashra'as HaShekhinah is going to break down the boundaries of the Mishkan, and there's going to be a comparable Hashra'as HaShekhinah, a comparable presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even outside of the boundaries of the Mishkan. And that actually fits, I think, very, very well, just with the simple pshat in the Psukim. The Pasuk that we just quoted a moment ago, the very end of Perek Tes, Pasuk Chav Gimel, Vayovo Moshe V'Aaron Al-Omoy, Vayetzu V'Ayvarchu Esa'om, Vayeiro Kivod Hashem, the glory of Hashem appears, El Kol Ha'am, to all the people, meaning they weren't in the Mishkan. Somehow that level of Hashra'as HaShekhinah, which previously had been associated with the Mishkan exclusively, now burst out of the Mishkan on this day of the dedication of the Mishkan, and now was, for a short period of time, something that could be perceived by the people outside of the Mishkan itself. And in that sense, that's what the Svarno is really harping on in the beginning of the parasha. When it says, Ki hayom Hashem nira aleichem, today you'll see that the same Kvod Hashem, that nira aleichem, that appeared to you already in the Mishkan, hayom today is going to appear to all of you. Now that's the point. Moshe Rabbeinu is connecting the Hashra'as HaShekhinah that was in the Mishkan with the Hashra'as HaShekhinah that's going to be outside of the Mishkan, that's going to be experienced by the entire Klal Yisrael, you know, for this brief period of time. Okay, so that's by way of introduction. What's that? Interesting. The Sfarno sees the two as being synonymous. I mean, I could hear that in theory you would distinguish between the two. But, I mean, the Sfarno in his comments on Ki Ayom Hashem Nira Aleichem quotes the Pasuk, Ukvod Hashem Molei Es HaMishkan. So, in other words, he clearly sees Kvod Hashem and Hashem as basically two terms that in this context are interchangeable. I mean, L'chora, you can see where he's coming from, because otherwise you run into the problem. What do you mean? You know, Hashem Nira Aleichem. Hashem himself is going to appear to you. Lo Yirani Ha'adam V'chai. You know, no person is able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu and live through that experience. So the Sfarno at least seems to be conflating those two terms, you know, Hashem and Kvod Hashem, at least in this context. So that brings us to Nadav and Aviyu. So the beginning of Perek Yud, the Torah tells us, Vayichu v'ne'aru Nadav v'Aviyu ish machtoso. Nadav and Aviyu each took his fire pan. Vayitnu vohen esh, they put fire in the pans. Vayasimu alek toras, they put incense in the pans. Vayakrivu lefnei Hashem esh zara asher lo tziva osam. And they brought a foreign fire, a strange fire, before Hashem, such that he had not commanded them to bring. Vateitze esh melifnei Hashem, vatochol osam yamusu lefnei Hashem. A fire emerges from before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, consumes them, and they die. So what prompts them? And again, as we spoke about before, Nadav and Aviyu are tremendous tzaddikim. In the very next psukim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe and Aaron, "Bikrov HaYakadosh." The Mishkan was sanctified through those who were very close to me. Nadav and Aviyu, these tremendous tzaddikim. So these tremendous tzaddikim do something which seems to be a mistake of some sort. They die for it. They're punished for it, seemingly. So what would have prompted these great tzaddikim to take the act that they did? So writes the Sfarno, Choshvu shekmo she'achar hatamid asher bo tishre shechina ka'omro olas tamid l'doroseichem pesach ol amoid l'fnei Hashem asher yivoed lochem shoma tovo haktores. Nadav and Aviyu reasoned as follows. And again, we'll see, according to the Sfarno, their reasoning is mistaken. But nonetheless, we have to understand where they're coming from. They reasoned as follows. We find that the bringing of Ktoras is something that follows an episode of Hashruas HaShechina, of the Shechina appearing. Where do we find that? So we find that with regard to the Karban Tamid. In Parshas Tetzaveh, when it describes the bringing of the Karban Tamid, the way the Sfarno explains the Psukim, the Karban Tamid is not merely a requirement that has to be brought as part of the regular series of Karbanos brought in the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash. The Karban Tamid is the vehicle that brings the Shechina into the Mishkan, into the Beis HaMikdash. He quotes the Pasuk again from Tetzaveh, Olas Tamid l'doroseichem Pesach ol moed l'fnei Hashem. The Karban Tamid is an eternal sacrifice. Asher ivoed lochem shoma. And through the way the Sfarno understands this phrase in the Pasuk, through this bringing of the Karban Tamid, ivoed lochem shoma, I will come and visit you there. Why will I visit you there, says Hashem to the Jewish people? In the schus, in the merit of the Karban Tamid. Right? So that's the Sfarno's read of that Pasuk. You can definitely read that Pasuk differently. But the way the Sfarno understands that Pasuk is that the Karban Tamid itself is the vehicle through which the Shechina is brought into the Mishkan, into the Mikdash, or stays in the Mishkan, in the Mikdash.
Or is it there's two takes.
Yeah, there are two words in Hebrew that are spelled with the same letters, but they have different vowels. So an ayol is a ram, an ayol is a gazelle. A gazelle is not an animal that can be brought as a korban. But they're spelled the same aleph yud lamed, but a gazelle would not be brought as a korban. It's not a kosher animal for a korban. You can eat a gazelle, but it's not a kosher animal for a korban. So the pasuk says that the Karban Talmid was the vehicle through which the Shekhinah was brought into the Mikdash, into the Mishkan. Following the bringing of the Karban Talmid, the Ktaris, the incense, was offered up in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash. Right? That we know from simply reading, if you read the Maisach Karbanos in the morning, right? So it describes, Abai Havim Masada Seder Maharacha, right? It describes the daily routine of the Karbanos, and after the Karban Talmid, so the Ktaris was brought. So what do we see from here? So we see from here that Ktaris is a reaction to a Gilui Shechina, to a revelation of God's presence. So if that's the case, reasoned Nadav and Aviyu, Kach hayoroi lahaktir Ktaris chadosha ata al higalos kvod Hashem al kol ha'am v'al yiridas ha'esh. So now Klal Yisrael at this point have just experienced an extra measure of Gilui Shechina. There was already Gilui Shechina in the Mishkan that had existed there from the time that the Mishkan was built. But now, Vayirah Kvod Hashem al Kol Ha'am, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, His glory, was revealed to the entire people. So this was somehow an extra measure of Gilui Shechina. Now, again, as we explained before, perhaps what it means is that the Gilui Shechina, which previously had been confined to the Mishkan, was now something that was revealed to the entire people, right? However it worked exactly, or like we explained earlier on, that maybe it was like a dimmer, you know, that was being, the intensity was being amplified, whatever it happened to be, but there's now an extra measure of Gilui Shechina. Oh, an extra measure of Gilui Shechina calls for more Ketores, because Ketores is always the answer, the response to Gilui Shechina. V'lochein hikrivu lifnei Hashem b'mizbeach hapnimi shenemar bo lo salu alov Ketores zora. So Nadav and Aviyu brought the Ketores not on the Mizbeach hachitso, not on the outer Mizbeach. There's one time in history where there was Ketores that was brought on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, or we should say 12 times in history, where the Ketores was brought on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. That was by the Chanukah HaNesiim. That's when the Nesiim dedicated the Mishkan, each one bringing their Karbonos, as described in Parshas Naso. So there it describes how they brought the Ketores on the outer Mizbeach, something very unusual. But Nadav and Aviyah were not looking to deviate from the norm. They saw this as just an extension of the idea of bringing Ketores in response to a Gilui Shechina, which was the normal way in which we bring Ketores. And where do we bring Ketores in response to a Gilui Shechina? In the Mizbeach HaPnimi, in the inner Mizbeach that's set aside for Ketores. So they said, okay, so we'll bring Ketores on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. And then the Sforno adds the following line, very, very, provocative line. Now, says the Svarno, their reasoning might have been right. Could be that they weren't wrong. In other words, the logic that they used, namely that when you experience a Gilui Shechina, a revelation of God's presence, the appropriate responses to bring Ketores, they weren't necessarily wrong. Im hayu mitzuvim bozeh. Had Hashem told them explicitly to do so. However, chotu la'asoso ata. It was a sin for Nadav and Aviyu to simply assume that this was the right thing to do without first getting a direct commandment from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is what you're supposed to do. The stakes here are very high. And using your own logic, even if your logic is correct, says the Sforno, to deduce that it's appropriate to bring Ketores under these circumstances is an illicit use of your own logic. You may be right. It's not a bad svara, so to speak. It's not a bad way. It's not an incorrect way of looking at it. But it has to get the approval of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't just go running and bring Taurus on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, even if your logic makes sense, unless you get a direct commandment from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the Sfarno understands. That's when the Pasuk says, Asher Lot Siva Osam, it was a foreign fire that they were not commanded to bring. The Sfarno seems to be saying, again, I'm perhaps reading a little bit in over here, but I think it's correct to do so. The Sfarno seems to be questioning what that phrase adds to the Chumash. By Akrivu Lifnei Hashem Eish Zara, they brought a foreign fire before Hashem, Asher Lo Tziva Osam, that was not commanded by Hashem to them. Well, yeah, obviously, if it was an Eish Zara, if it was a foreign fire, it's a fire that they weren't commanded to bring. So what's really added by Asher Lo Tziva Osam? So I think the Sfarno is being sensitive to that extra, seemingly extra phrase in the Chumash. And he's saying the reason the Torah has to emphasize Asher Lo Tziva Osam, that they weren't commanded to bring it, is that it was logical for them to bring it. It made sense for them to bring it. It wasn't an Eish Zara in the sense that they brought something which was bizarre, you know, that they brought a sampling of Ketores that was out of place. The only thing that made it out of place was the fact that Hashem had not told them explicitly to bring it. But it was reasonable for them to have brought the Ketores under these circumstances. And that's the phrase, Asher Lo Tziva Osam. If you want to darshan a little bit, again, I get paid to darshan, so you have to deal with it. We could perhaps even suggest the following, but I would not suggest that this is the Sfarno saying this, but it's building a little bit on the Sfarno's idea. There's an unusual trump note under the word lo. It says Asher lo tziva osam. This was a offering of Ketores that Hashem had not commanded them. Under the word lo, you have the very unusual trump note, the mercha kfula, a double mercha. And that means that it appears only a handful of times in the Chumash, and it means that you emphasize the word lo a little bit when you lane it. Why is there a mercha kfula, this unusual trump note under lo? So maybe it's, again, along the lines of the Sfarno, maybe it's to emphasize exactly this point. It's true that Hashem did not command them to bring this Ketores, but that was really, in a sense, the only flaw with what they did. In terms of the logic of bringing the Ketores, the logic that they used made sense. So the Pasuk has to emphasize, Asher lo tziva osam. It was not commanded by Hashem, but, in a different universe, maybe Hashem might have commanded them to bring it. In other words, the logic that they used was impeccable logic. They were not totally off base in bringing the Ketores. It was a reasonable response to a Gilui Shechina, to a revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. Narvas, Asher lo tziva osam. But, in the end of the day, still, Hashem had not commanded them to bring this Ketores. And then the Sfarno throws in the following. Ka'amram zal, as Chazal say, Shaharu halacha b'fnei Moshe Rabbam. The Gemara in Erevin, Daf Samech Gimel, says that at least one part or one of the sins of Nadav and Avihu is that they paskin the Shaila in the presence of their Rebbe Moshe Rabbeinu, without consulting with him. Now here is Rabbi Cooperman points out in his notes, this is a very interesting Sfarno, because the Gemara does indeed say that Nadav and Avihu were Mara Halacha Bifnei Rabban, that they paskin the Halacha in the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu without consulting with him. But the halacha that they paskened without consulting with him, according to the Gemara, is a different halacha. It's not the halacha which the Sfarno references. According to the Gemara in Erevin, the halacha that they paskened for themselves without consulting with Moshe Rabbeinu is that they brought fire on the Mizbeach, notwithstanding the fact that Hashem had already sent down a heavenly fire to the Mizbeach. And they were held accountable for that. And the Gemara says, you know, before they went and paskin for themselves, they really should have consulted with their Rebbe, with Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, before taking such a, you know, a drastic step on their own. So as Rabbi Kuberman points out, it's a sort of unusual approach of the Svarno. The Svarno is quoting Chazal, but as opposed to taking the idea from Chazal in its entirety, the Svarno is taking, so to speak, half of the idea from Chazal. He's quoting from Chazal that Nadav and Avihu were Mora Halacha Bifnei Rabban, that they paskened the Shiloh in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, but the content of the Shiloh which they paskened in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, according to the Svarno, could mean something else. In other words, Chazal have a Kabbalah, they have a tradition. This is perhaps how you can explain the Svarno. Chazal have a Kabbalah, they have a tradition that Nadav and Avihu paskened the Shiloh in front of their Rebbe, but there's room to discuss what the nature of the Shiloh itself that they paskened was in front of their Rebbe and Moshe Rabbeinu. And according to the Svarno, the Shiloh that they paskened in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, when they should have gone and consulted, was the fact that they brought Ketores all together, you know, which, again, they had a Svaro, they had a way of explaining why it made sense logically for them to bring Ketores under the circumstances. But again, just because you have a Svaro, you still have to go and consult with your Rebbe, particularly if your Rebbe is there, you know, before you can jump into action, you know, to implement the Svara that you had. So again, the picture, just to sum up, the picture that we get of Nadav and Avihu, according to the Svarno, is two tzaddikim who are acting with the best of intentions and whose halachic logic, indeed, might really be impeccable on many levels. Their decision to bring Ketores in response to this new Giloi Hashchina, this new revelation of God's presence, is really just an extension of the bringing of Ketores, which takes place after Hashem reveals himself constantly through the Karban Tamid, right? So it's really just an extension of an idea which is already on the books, so to speak. But you don't make those extensions on your own. If you have a Rebbe, you go and consult with the Rebbe before deciding to make this Kal Vachomer, this logical jump, as logical as it is. So Nadav and Avihu, with the best of intentions, unfortunately, end up leaving this world as a result of what they do. But you can certainly understand why the Pasuk refers to them, Bikrovai Ekadesh. Hashem says, I will be sanctified by those who are close to me. They're tzaddikim, they're tamidei chachamim, you know, they made a subtle mistake. But you know, in the end of the day, it's a subtle mistake, and one which is, you know, readily understood, you know, a tragic mistake, but one we can certainly understand where they were coming from when they made such a mistake. Just end off with one short idea from the Svarno. So it says that Moshe Rabbeinu comforts Aaron, who, you know, has just seen this day turn upside down. I mean, this was a day that was supposed to be a day of great celebration, and instead he loses two of his sons on this day. So again, in the pasuk that we just quoted a moment ago, Vayomer Moshe Aaron, Hu Asher Diber Hashem Leimor Bikrovai Hakodesh VeAlpnei Kol HaOm Kaved. This is what Hashem has said: I will be sanctified with those who are close to me. Vayidom Aaron, and Aaron was silent. Comments the Svarno very poignantly: Shehisnachem, Aaron was comforted. Bekidush Hashem Shenikdash BeMosam, because there was, after all, a sanctification of God's name that came about through the deaths of Nadav and Avihu, and as pained as he was at their loss, but he was comforted, in a sense, by the Kiddush Hashem, which had resulted inadvertently because of their actions. Rabbi Chananel ben Akasha Omer,